Human overpopulation is a thing, but because we've avoided the topic for 30 years, it's widely misunderstood, even by very smart people like columnist, author, Sirius Radio and CNN host Michael Smirkanish. A lesson for Mr. Smirkanish next.
The presidential election in 2024 is probably the most important election in our country's history.
You're looking at a Biden-Trump rematch that two-thirds of the country doesn't want.
I'm Dave Gardner. I'm running for president.
The billionaire class has been taking everything and leaving everybody else to fight for the scraps.
You're right to talk about economic growth and restoring that American dream.
Gross domestic product has now become a fetish.
You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your fairy tales of eternal economic growth.
We humans have outgrown our planet.
Is growth really making us richer? Or is it making us poorer?
We've got to scale back.
We need people to reimagine a lifestyle which requires much less energy and material.
Didn't Elon Musk actually say one of the biggest issues that we're facing is underpopulation?
Let's not be afraid to talk about overpopulation, because it is not about taking rights away from people. It is about giving opportunities to women, children, and future generations.
I'm Dave Gardner, independent candidate for U.S. president, and this is the podcast chronicling my campaign and its critical issues. Welcome to Dave the Planet. We've got a planet to save, and the U.S. needs to do its part. Learn more and follow my campaign at DaveThePlanet2024.com. Baby bust alarmism and depopulation panic have dominated the media coverage of falling birth rates. We live in a world of rampant overpopulation illiteracy and ecological overshoot illiteracy. I'm running for president to fix that. I like Michael Smirkanish, and I watch his show on CNN every Saturday. He's smart and informed. So I was very disappointed at the pro-growth bias apparent in his discussion last Saturday of falling birth rates. So in this episode, I'm going to dissect that segment. He needs to know the truth, and so do you.
The global fertility rate, it's falling at an alarming pace, from an average of 5 births per woman in 1950 to only 2.3 births in 2021, and in the U.S., it's even less.
He starts off by calling the drop in birth rates alarming, and his graphic is labeled baby doom. He could have at least put a question mark there if he didn't have some built-in pro-growth bias. Well, that's a clear indication that he assumes falling birth rates are undesirable. I'll share with you in a few seconds why higher birth rates would be much more alarming. But first, more from Michael.
It's at the point where our population size may no longer be sustainable.
Why do we need to sustain our current population size at today's destructive level? He seems to assume that sustaining this level is desirable. Now, he's not alone in this assumption, by the way. In most of the coverage of this falling birth rate phenomenon, we hear that our fertility rate has fallen below the level needed to maintain our current population. Again, I ask, why do we need to do that? Well, here's the deal. If we're overpopulated, a falling population is exactly what we need. And if you live in a world that respects science and math and hard evidence, it's not debatable. We are overpopulated. We're in ecological overshoot. We've outgrown the planet. The evidence is staring us in the face. Climate destabilization, rampant species extinction, increasingly scarce fresh water, declining soil fertility, depletion of other resources, ocean dead zones, fisheries collapse, and proliferation of plastics, PFAS, and other toxins. Just off the top of my head. The U.S. is deeper into overshoot than most nations, so it's an issue we must address here, as well as around the world. Now, who is the guest for this segment of Smirkanish? A biologist or ecologist? No. An economist, and not an ecological economist. So, you'll never guess what she thinks of this.
Some will hear this and they'll say, well, this is great news. This is less taxing for the planet. You're well versed in a book that came out like 2 decades ago and said we were headed for catastrophe. Is it good news or is it bad news?
I think this is fundamentally bad news. So let me say, most people see it as good news because they think it's good for the planet.
I hope she's right in her observation that most people see falling birth rates as good news, since it is, on an overpopulated planet. But that's it. Just a couple of sentences about the impact of 8 billion people on the planet. Instead of giving that subject its due, where do they head?
As an economist, immediately what I see is the fiscal threat it poses to Social Security and Medicare.
While birth rates fall, there will temporarily be more older people and fewer young. And that will create some funding challenges for Medicare and Social Security, which today are set up to work well with a growing population. There will always be more people paying in than there are folks getting benefits. But when you think about it, that can't go on forever. It's a Ponzi scheme that has to end. And these funding challenges really are mere inconveniences compared to the challenge of surviving in a vastly overpopulated Mad Max world of diminished resources and fights over water, food, and energy.
I see the threat a shrinking working age population poses to our economic dynamism and our living standards. We need more people to create ideas and technological innovations that improve all of our living standards.
Oh, good grief. Economic dynamism? What the f*** is that? I'll tell you, it's GDP. Material throughput, rampant and ever-growing extraction of finite resources, and expenditure of energy, which in today's overshoot economy requires burning fossil fuels and destabilizing the climate. You can't eat or drink economic dynamism. When your kids ask you why you're leaving them a dead planet, all you can say is, "We grew the f*** out of the economy for a couple hundred years, you ungrateful little shit." Carney mentions living standards. Are they not good enough? We're not all living in palaces and vacationing on mega yachts. Let's get to work on that. And let's hear that last line again.
We need more people to create ideas and technological innovations that improve all of our living standards.
Do we really need more people to innovate? 8 billion isn't quite enough? Some of our best creativity and innovation happened when there were fewer than a billion of us on the planet. Galileo, Da Vinci, Aristotle, Plato, Shakespeare. Come on. Back to Smirkanish.
Is there anything that can be done about it? And if so, what?
Look, simple economic tinkering, like a small tax credit for people with, you know, to have kids or expansion of paid leave, all of those things are great. They're not fundamentally going to solve the problem. I think to even stabilize birth rates in the high-income countries, we're going to fundamentally need a reorientation of society towards one that's much more family-friendly, that's much more pro-kid. It will take, we've seen now, South Korea is offering $70,000, the equivalent of $70,000 to people to have kids. It's going to take a massive infusion of support to families. As well as, let me say,
I just can't believe they're wasting time discussing what might be done to bring birth rates back up. Falling birth rates are not a problem we need to solve. They are a solution to many of the problems we desperately need to solve. In the face of overshoot, the smartest thing we can do is get down as close as we can to a one child per family average and hold it there for 100 years or more. Just a 1/2 child per family reduction in average fertility rate moves the UN projected population peak back from 10.4 billion in 2086 to 8.9 billion in 2052, and it gets us back down to 7 billion by the turn of the century. Our goal should be 3 billion or fewer, so lower and longer. Now, we have much more to do to get out of overshoot and on a path to a bright future, streamlining our lifestyles, going on an energy diet, and getting over our love affair with economic growth. But embracing and accelerating the current trend toward informed, well-considered, voluntary small family decisions will be a big help. If you're one of the people who made a responsible family size decision to be child-free, or to adopt, or to bring just one child into the world. Thank you. If I'm elected president, the U.S. will take responsibility for the size of our ecological footprint. We'll immediately begin shrinking our economy and our population. We'll end pronatalist policies and implement policies to support and encourage smaller families, because that's the only way our kids won't inherit a dead planet. It's the one and only path to a bright future.